Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day, and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the Scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m., and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You're welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me 989-305-2721 or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. Well, since this is the Christmas season, this beginning part of the Gospel of Matthew is sure to be somewhat familiar to you, if not outright well known, for Matthew and Luke are the only two gospel writers which give us any direct information about Jesus' birth. The issue is that since there is so little information, people have mashed these accounts together and added to them from outside sources. We're not going to do that. And if I forget, please feel free to remind me. We want to study Matthew and we want to stay in Matthew because that is going to help us understand the Gospel of Matthew. So turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And that is it. Jesus is born. Now, I know chapter 2 has the wise men in it, but if you read carefully in chapter 2, you will see that the wise men show up later, even years later after Jesus is born. Chapter 2, verse 11, has Jesus not in a stable, but in a house. And shortly after that, Herod will kill all the babies in Bethlehem that are 2 years old and younger. That's verse 16. If Jesus was still a newborn baby, then why kill babies that are up to 2 years old? So, yes, the Christmas songs about the wise men are fun and all of that, but they really weren't there for Jesus' birth, and they're in the next chapter. So let's get back to chapter 1, the birth of Jesus. Now, there are speculations from people who cannot allow for the virgin conception of Jesus. And so some speculate that Joseph and Mary cohabitated before they were married, and thus Jesus was conceived of Joseph and Mary. The problem with this idea is that if this were true, why would Joseph consider divorcing her? No, something else is in play. Some people speculate that Mary was having relations with somebody else. Joseph certainly did, as Matthew tells us. And yet, Joseph still married Mary. And where is this supposed other man? He doesn't show up in the text. Where did he come from? Where did he go? People can invent anyone from their imagination, but that doesn't make them real. When people cannot accept the text, they have to ignore the fact that we are also told that Joseph was a just man. Joseph is not going to shack up with Mary before they're married. Yeah, notice that Matthew's gospel focuses upon Joseph and almost completely ignores Mary. It isn't as though Mary's a nobody. After all, she's going to carry the Christ child. She's going to raise the Christ child. She's going to be there at his crucifixion. She's going to see her son suffer through all of this, even seeing his resurrection and ascension to heaven. Mary's there for all of that business. But Matthew is not concerned about Mary right now. He is going to tell us about Joseph, the father of the Christ. Joseph is the father of Matthew. And that is because Matthew is focusing on Jesus as the king, as the heir to the throne, as the descendant of David. Now, Luke's going to give us all sorts of information about Mary and other information about the birth of Jesus. Matthew's focus is not necessarily the proper way that a king is born, but the fact that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the king. Jesus is the descendant of David and of Abraham. So what kind of man is Joseph? Well, as we've already read, he's a just man. He is not just a just man. He is such a just man that not only does he not want to marry an unchaste woman, he plans to divorce her quietly. Joseph could have made a spectacle of Mary. He could have brought her before the authorities. He could have had her stoned for committing what would have been, in essence, adultery. But he didn't do that. He instead planned to divorce her quietly. This really is a kind and gentle man, this Joseph. That is, until an angel of the Lord shows up in a dream. And the angel tells him to take Mary as his wife, which he does do. But what does an angel of the Lord look like? Now, I don't know. He's not described, but Matthew tells us that Joseph has this dream where the angel shows up. And so he listens to the angel. And the angel, of course, is an angel of the Lord. He gives accurate information for what's going to happen. But it is interesting to think we really don't know what an angel of the Lord looks like. And yet, Matthew seems to assume that we do. So the angel says, Emmanuel. That's going to be Jesus' name. He's going to be called Emmanuel. And yet nowhere else in Scripture, especially in Matthew's gospel, is Jesus ever called Emmanuel. Why? Why is this? You will call him Emmanuel, but no one does. And Matthew tells us the reason why. Because Emmanuel means God with us. That's the whole point. God with us. That's why you will call his name Emmanuel. And the angel says you're going to name him Jesus. You will call him Emmanuel, God with us. There's this discussion and trouble and trial with trying to understand God being one and God being the Father and God being the Holy Spirit and God being the Son, that is Jesus. But see, the Hebrews never had this problem. You go back and read your Old Testament, and you'll find, for example, that God the Father, or God, as he is called in the Old Testament, he would be doing this thing or that thing, and the Holy Spirit was there as well. And the Hebrews never had a problem with that. And the angel of Yahweh would be there, and the Hebrews never had a problem with that. And so here, as Matthew tells us, Emmanuel means God with us. And remember, Matthew's writing to a Jewish audience. They would have no problem with this. God with us. But his name is actually going to be Jesus, as the angel instructs. And Jesus means God saves. And so Emmanuel and Jesus together, who is he? He is God with us. He is God who saves. And this is who Jesus is. Every time we call his name, God with us, the God who saves. And again, some people misunderstanding Hebrew thought, they have an issue with this because there's God the Father, and then here's Jesus as God. How can they both be God? And the answer is because they are. They are God. And Matthew, as a Jew, writing to Jews, never had an issue with this. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He establishes, Matthew does, by this angel and by the fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus is Emmanuel, God in the flesh. The Jews, some of them, they would have been challenged by this, and we'll see that as we go through the gospel. But this is one of Matthew's big points for us to grasp. God with us. The God who saves is with us. Not only this, but as Matthew is writing his gospel, and we saw this when he gave the genealogy, God doesn't do things the way we expect him to do things. This is a big part of who God is. We are not God. If we were running the show, we would have done things very differently than the way God does things. And Matthew's challenge through his gospel is to help us see things the way God does things. So here we have God in the flesh, the God who saves. And again, that's what Jesus means. Every time we call his name Jesus, the God in the flesh who saves, we are proclaiming that Jesus is God, saving his people, saving us from our sins. Now again, Matthew tells us this is to fulfill prophecy. Notice the angel doesn't tell Joseph this, but Matthew tells us this. Matthew is going to do that over and over again through his gospel. It's as if he has to convince his reader of something, and he is, but it's not that he's trying to convince people that the Old Testament is true, nor is he trying to convince us that God is in charge. He is, and the Old Testament is true, but that's not what Matthew's trying to prove to us. Just as the lineage that he gave us teaches us something more than just that Jesus is from David, from Abraham, here we have the Christ being born. And remember, this is God's plan. If mankind were to be planning God's visit to the earth, how would we do it? We would do it differently. Instead, what do we find? We have a questionable birth to a woman not yet married with a somewhat reluctant father. We wouldn't plan things like this, but God does. If we were to have the King of the universe being born, he would be in a well-defined, highly moral, familial relationship, wouldn't we? Everything would be perfect according to moral standards of the society. But that's not what Jesus is or has. Matthew has already shown us that God doesn't do things the way we expect him to do things. He doesn't do things our way. God does things God's way. And Jesus' birth is no exception to God's exception to mankind's exceptions. As we work our way through the Gospel of Matthew, please get used to the idea that what happens next isn't what you would expect. Remember, this section of Matthew, God is among us, and this is the God who saves us. Now, lastly, before we move on, I know that Luke has the shepherds. Matthew doesn't. And that's Matthew's point is not shepherds. Matthew's point is not the gentleness of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus. Matthew's point is Jesus is deity, Jesus is king. And Jesus is God, and he doesn't do things the way we expect him to do. That's Matthew's point so far. Please don't try to confuse Matthew with Luke. Luke is going to be teaching us something different. We get to the Gospel of Luke, we'll cover that. But right now, Matthew is showing us Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, the God who saves. Turn with me to chapter 2 now, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Well, they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Well, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now again, more prophecy, right? God is doing things his way, not ours. And what do we have? We have a foolish human king, Herod, trying to stop God's will. Foolish, jealous, and utterly sinful, willing to lie to wise men who seek to honor God, men from another country, and willing to kill anyone who gets his way, even innocent men and children. Herod is not the king that you want to rule. Herod is the human way of thinking. What we have here is God versus man. And who wins? We know who wins. God wins, of course. Now, Christmas tradition, the wise men, again, this is not when Jesus is born. This is some time later. But also in this recording from Matthew, we don't find out who these wise men are, how many of them there are, or where are they from. We just know that they're wise, they're from the East, and they've been traveling following the star. Where did they learn about all of this? Speculations abound. We don't know. We don't know where these guys are from. We don't know what their names are. We don't know how many they are. And we have story and story and story and song and song and song and tradition and tradition and tradition. We don't know any of those things. They are not important. What's important is from another country, wise men came to worship Jesus. They didn't come to worship Herod. They came to worship Jesus, the King of the Jews. That is Matthew's point. And that's the thing that we need to grasp. Again, this is not the way man does things, but this is the way God does things. And so they present to Jesus these gifts, which are going to be exceedingly valuable and very important because Jesus and his family, Joseph's going to be warned in a dream, flee to Egypt. You know what they're going to need? They're going to need funds for traveling. They're going to need funds for being resettled as they move to Egypt. They're going to need support. And they have to leave everything behind in order to flee. They don't just move, they flee to Egypt. So these wise men, again, this isn't at Jesus' birth. This is sometime later. We don't know exactly when. It's not important. What's important is for us to understand that the king of this area, Herod, would not worship and honor Jesus. Instead, he sought to kill him. These wise men from far away, they came to worship Jesus and they present him with these great gifts. And of course, they're warned in a vision, in a dream, not to go back the way they came, which is interesting because God didn't tell them in a dream, in a vision, where to find Jesus. What did he do? He had them visit with Herod and Herod inquired and everyone in Jerusalem is all concerned because now the Christ child's been born. This is the Messiah we've been waiting for, the one we've been looking for. And of course, Herod wants to kill him. These signs, these things, these signifiers that Matthew's giving us show us that God has told us, prophesied years in advance what the plan is, and yet people still didn't understand what the plan was. That's important because God does things in ways in which we do not expect God to do things. We expect God to be human. He is not human. God is God. We need to learn this. And so I want to return to thinking about Herod. Herod is not the king you want to rule. Herod is not the one that you want to be over you. Herod will kill you as soon as look at you. Herod is a human way of thinking. And we need to get away from that. We need to start thinking the way God thinks. Matthew, giving us prophecy, points out Christ is not only God with us. He is also the God who saves. He is also the ruler of the people. He is the king, and he is also the shepherd. Matthew gives us all this information in the opening chapter of his gospel. That is, if you were to believe an angel of the Lord, if you were to believe the Holy Spirit, if you were to believe the prophets who spoke years beforehand, and if you were to believe in wise men who traveled a far distance to worship this king, or you could throw your hat in with the world who cannot stand God, who denies the ability of God to tell the future, who denies the virgin birth and conception of Jesus, and believes that ungodly men can tell the future, can prophesy, a world that would have bloodthirsty men such as Herod to rule instead of a caring king such as Jesus. This is Matthew's lesson for us so far. This dichotomy between humans and God, this huge gap between who we are and who God is. God's plans have been nothing except what mankind would have them to be, but different. And one of the reasons that it's different is because if what God was doing was easily predictable, well, God's plans might be interrupted, which, of course, that's never going to happen. That God is smarter than that. That's why he gives us the prophecies the way he does. God does things differently than the way we would do things. And the sooner we start to think the way God thinks, the sooner we start to understand God better. And the sooner we understand God better, the better life is for us, because we start to live the way God would have us to live. So, recap for us this morning. We've seen with these two sections of Scripture, God has sent his Son, who is also God, Jesus, God in the flesh, to rule as king and as shepherd. He is to be one who is to save mankind, but also to forgive mankind. And God has done it in a way that was foretold to mankind, but also unexpected by mankind. This is who God is. Just think about that for a while. Let me encourage you today. Jesus, the one who saves, and is God in the flesh, was sent by the Father and the Holy Spirit to be our King and Shepherd. God wants to forgive your sins through Jesus. Let him be your King and Shepherd. Let him be your Christ. This is how God is doing things. Don't throw your lot in with men such as Herod. Let me encourage you. Choose Jesus today. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the Scriptures today. Thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721. Send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Born in Bethlehem.
Oh, children, go. Where are Cindy children go? Where are Cindy children go? Where are Cindy
children go? Where are Cindy? How will I Cindy? Oh, I'm gonna Cindy one by one, 'cause one was a little bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem.
Children go, where are Cindy?
How will I Cindy? Oh, I'm gonna Cindy two by two, 'cause two was a Paul and Silas. One was a little bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem.
Children go, baby Cindy.
Oh, Lordy, how will I Cindy? Oh, I'm gonna Cindy three by three, 'cause three was a Hebrew children. Two was a Paul and Silas. One was a little bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem.
Children go, baby Cindy.
Oh, Lordy, how will I Cindy? Oh, I'm gonna Cindy four by four, 'cause the four was a four that stood at the door. Three was a Hebrew children. Two was a Paul and Silas. One was a little bitty baby. Born in Bethlehem.
Children go, where are Cindy children go? Where are Cindy children go? Where are Cindy
children go? Where are Cindy? How will I Cindy? Oh, I'm gonna Cindy 10 by 10, 'cause the 10 was the 10 commandments. 9 was the 9 that stood in the line. 8 was the 8 that waited at the gate. 7 was the 7 that never got to heaven. 6 was the 6 that didn't get fixed. 5 come back alive. 4 was the 4 that stood at the door. 3 was the Hebrew children. 2 was the Paul and Silas.
1 was a little bitty baby.
Born in Bethlehem.